All right, welcome to our Calvary Chapel conference, and you know this is our 10th year here at Stillwood, right? Isn't it 10 years? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 10 years. I remember coming up here like 10 years ago, and I had no gray hair then, and Rob, you laugh. You had hair then. Pete had hair. A few of you had hair. Anyways, it's good to be here. And guys, this is just a time of seeking the Lord, calling upon Him, encouraging one another. And it's good to come back and see friends, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good to come back and, you know, we've seen these people before and some of them have come out of our churches. Anyways, as some of you guys know, by the way, we're waiting for some of our guest speakers. I'm not filler, but I do have something to say, all right? You know, some of you guys know that we left BC like a year ago to go plant a church out in Ontario. And today is election day, by the way, which is kind of a, we need to pray for that today in this, actually. Pray that people don't vote because they like someone's hair or, you know, they don't like someone's beard or, you know, something like that. We really need to pray for our country. But, you know, we've been out there planting and not quite a year. I shared last year, like, you know, we had like two or three Sundays already. And, you know, when you church plant, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And it's a saying that they say, but boy, when you're living that, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. Unbelievable. Some of the spiritual warfare you go through, some of the crazy things you go through. And after being here in BC and planting and, you know, being 15 years in my last church and just blessed by our wonderful church, you know, in your own office, in your own building, you look out at the Pacific Ocean, it's a full-time job, you get to put your feet up on the desk once in a while, you know what I mean? And then you go and you move to Ontario and, you know, it's like people in Ontario hate on Ontario. I don't know why that is, but it's really something that's different. And you go there and you don't know anybody. And then on top of that, you're bivocational, because that's how we do it in Calvary Chapel. I go get a job. And so I got a job in a mattress store selling mattresses. Very humbling, all right? But it's amazing because I may see 3, 4, 5 people all day long. But it's a great chance. When they come in, I'm so glad to see them. And I truly am. And they can sense it. And what's interesting, and I say it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. Last winter, I was looking out, the snow was falling. Actually, the snow was falling last Sunday, actually, truly. And I'm saying, like, with one person coming after, like, 2 months, I'm thinking, did I hear God wrong? What's going on? Are you kidding me? I moved all the way here, and this is what's happening? So we moved locations, and then God started to bring people. After 2 months, we moved to a new place, and we're all excited because we're closer to downtown, and we're all ready. We're going into the Kiwanis Community Center that we rented, and the guy who brings the key doesn't show up. And so you're standing there at 10 o'clock, and the first person actually is going to come to your church shows up, and you're standing there at 3 minutes after 10, and you're locked out of the building, and they're looking at you, and they think I'm a hillbilly, some weirdo, like, what kind of outfit is this? You know what I'm talking about? That's church planting. It is. And they come in and, you know, it's like you're thinking, she's never coming back. And lo and behold, even though we were late, she helped us set up. And she's been coming every Sunday, like for 8 months, all right? Or 7 months, whatever it is. And the joys of church planting, you know, you have a long weekend or you have bad weather or something happens where people are going away and it's like your regulars, as few as they are, they don't come because they're going somewhere for turkey dinner and you're thinking if somebody shows up, it's like, well, you know, you do the story. It's like, well, you know, we have more people, but they're away right now and if you come back again, please, you'll see we actually have people. And I kid you not, we've had 3 or 4 Sundays like that, where it's been a long weekend. Our regulars say, we're going away. And I go into this nosedive discouragement, and I say, no, I'm going to walk by faith, Lord. You will bring someone new this morning. And it's happened, like, every time. It's pretty, and they stick. And it's like, okay, this is totally not conventional church planting wisdom in the books at all. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you wake up and it's like spiritual warfare. If you're in a church plant and you're not called as a pastor or an elder to, and you don't have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, man, the spiritual warfare is intense, and you will be bitten up and chewed out and spit out before you know it. Because it's constant. It's always Satan pounding your head. Anyways, but it's the best of times because, you know, like just this last week I was sharing with our church. People have been coming. I ordered a whole box of Bibles in, all right, New Testaments, and I've been handing them out, inviting people out. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, look what you did just this week. You know, the guy who dropped off the mattresses in the big semi-truck, his name is Raj. He's from India. Last two or three months, I said, Raj, if I get you a Bible, will you read it? He says, yeah, I'll read it, sure. Well, you know, in his broken English. So I put up, he came in. I put a Bible in his hand. It was actually a Friday, a week ago. And I put it in his hand. And I said, you know, I don't know if this guy's understanding my English, but I know the gospel is two things, the cross and the resurrection. And God said, if I preach, as foolish as it sounds in his ears and my ears, it worked 2,000 years ago. I'm just going to do it. So I started talking with him about the cross. I said, you know, if you believe in Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin, all your past, present, future sin will be washed away, and you will experience the love of God in a personal way. And I said, if you believe in the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead, he's promised to give you eternal life, and you'll live forever, Raj. You don't have to be reincarnated and keep coming back over and over again. I said, what do you think of that? He says, well, you know, I can't imitate his name. Anyways, he just said, yes, that's very interesting. I said, well, let's read it. Read this. Will you read? He says, I will start reading. I said, you want me to get it in Hindi? He said, no, I want to learn English. So, okay, so I sent him off. That was a week ago. And then I had another guy come in Wednesday. His name was Saif or something like that. And I said, where are you from? He buys a mattress. I said, where are you from? He says, Sudan. I said, what part, north or south? He said, north. And so I know he's Muslim, right? And I said, so, do you believe in God? Now, you know, you're kind of risking it when you're working for someone else, right? Because one day, you know, the posse may catch up with me and I'll be gone, all right? But for now, I'm just going to keep doing it, all right? But anyways, we get talking. I said, look, if you believe in, and I said, God help me. It's the gospel. I talked about the cross, sin. I said, he didn't appear just to be crucified and died. He really did die, even though the Quran says that he didn't really die. And I said, he rose from the dead. I said, Muhammad's still dead. And you can only get eternal life when you believe in Jesus. Islam can't give you the guarantee of eternal life. Now, if you know what's funny is, if I were to say that in northern Sudan, I would be killed probably. But God brought this guy all the way from northern Sudan to talk to him in London, Ontario. That's crazy. You know, and then there was another one, you know, Jennifer just moved, and, you know, she moved like a few blocks. I said, oh, I wrote the address down on the bill. I said, so, that's close to my church. Oh, what church do you go to? I'm looking for a church. I said, well, we meet in the Kiwanis Community Center. She says, oh, that's where I do yoga. And I'm thinking, really? Okay. I said, okay, come on out. I said, and then I said at the end, by the way, I'm the pastor. All right. Oh, cool. All right. And then what's amazing is another guy comes in, Sean. And Sean, I say, you go to church, Sean? I just bring it up. You got to just break through the awkwardness, man. There's just no easy way. And he says, well, I used to go to church. And I says, wow, you used to go to church. I said, that's the biggest church in London. I used to go to church. And that's the same in your community, by the way, right? It's the used to go to church. So I'm trying to figure, where is this guy at? So I said, well, what interests you? You ever looked in the Bible? He says, yeah, you know what I like? I said, what? He says, I like end times prophecy stuff. I said, you're kidding me. I said, you know what's going on in the world? He says, what? I said, in the year 2015, Russia and Iran have for the first time ever done military exercises together. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? All right, that's the Ezekiel 38-39 war of Russia and Iran attacking Israel. And for the first time ever, they have a political pact. And on top of that, I said, you know, there's another prophecy in Isaiah 17:1 where it says the city of Damascus will be laid desolate. You guys know that prophecy? I said, you know where they are right now, Russia and Iran. He said, yeah, they're in Syria. So we get talking about end times prophecy stuff. And I said, are you interested? So I put a Bible in his hand. I said, you read this. We'll talk about it. Come back. Amazing. He says, I'm thinking I'm going to come back. I'm going to come check out your church. And then the topper this week was Thursday. Brian comes in. And he's like, you know, older guy in his 50s or whatever. And we get talking, and I put a Bible in his hand. I say, hey, do you go to church? He says, no, but my wife and I have been talking about it for years. We've been thinking about going to church. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, here's the New Testament. I pulled it out of the counter, I put it in his hand, and I said, here you go. If you read this, it'll blow your mind away. He said, what do you? I said, this is the authorized biography of Jesus Christ. Not the unauthorized one. This is the authorized one. And I said, you start here in the gospel. It's called Matthew. And I open up, and I'm looking. I go, it's the genealogy. Oh, this is a hard sell. How am I going to sell this one? Okay. So I said, you see this genealogy? This is where Jesus came from. His ancestors. I said, there's four scandalous women in there. Very rare. Cool read. Read through it. Really? Oh, and chapter 2, Christmas story. Everybody loves it. You like the Christmas story? Yes. Chapter 3, John the Baptist. Later on in the story, loses his head. Well, read this guy. Chapter 4, Jesus personally tempted by Satan himself. He goes, wow. Okay, I'm going to go read this. Okay. So a couple days later, he comes in. He picks up the mattress because he didn't have the vehicle at the time. And it's awkward. I don't know. Do I say something, Lord? What do I do? And he says, so we load the mattress in the back. And I say to him, I'm glad you came by. Nice to meet you. And he says, hey, I've been reading that book you gave me. All right? This is Saturday, like 2 days ago. I've been reading that book you gave me. I said, oh. He says, you know what? It just grabbed me when I was reading it. It was amazing. I said, really? So we stand outside. It's raining. It's cold, you know, and we're like 10 minutes and we get talking. I says, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going away to BC this week, but I'm coming back. And I said, I got something called the bridge that I like to share with people. If I took you out for a coffee next week when I get back, if I could explain the entire Bible to you and cover to cover, the entire theme in 45 minutes, would that be worth your time? And he says, would it? I would love that. And I said, it answers all the questions of life, too. Why you're here? I said, what do you think? He says, let's do it. I'm going to keep reading. You get back. I want to. Guys, it was just like, it's the best of times. It's the worst of times on another level. All right? That's all there is to it. Now, what's amazing, guys, is it's very exciting to be serving the Lord. But when you're serving the Lord, you're the biggest target for Satan around. And when you're a laborer for the Lord, that means labor and it means work. And there's times where you'll look out the window and you'll say, what in the world am I doing? There's still times when I stand up on a Sunday and I'm talking and teaching the word and this thought hits my mind and it says, they're not listening to you. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They're just tuning you out. They're thinking, what's for lunch? Kind of like, you know, you think that sometimes now even, you know, like, are they listening to you right now? And Satan will have a way of just coming at you and putting the craziest thoughts. You are ineffective. You're doing nothing that matters. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. But guys, God has made some promises. Number one, Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now, I used to come out of a Pentecostal background and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. God willing, the gifts of the Spirit will be working here this week. Not just this week, but all the time. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But the power of God is the gospel of Jesus. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. Now, how would he know to say, I'm not ashamed of it, unless he was learning how to overcome being ashamed of it? All right? And there's something supernatural that happens. But in spite of all of that, the laborer who carries that message at times gets hit, gets knocked around, gets attacked. Read the book of Acts. Paul, shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, left for dead. Do you think at times he was maybe thinking this verse here, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? Now, I'm not saying that this is going to be the theme of our conference this week, but it is a verse that is an encouraging thing for us as church workers, pastors, elders, whatever you may be, Sunday school teacher, youth leader, person thinking about serving the Lord somehow. And you know, it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word faint actually is this idea of being fatigued. And when you're weary, I don't have to give you a definition of it because you know what weariness is. It can be a sense of exhaustion. It can be a sense of being tired. How many times have I woken up on a Sunday morning and I'm tired? Especially when you're bivocational. In fact, my flesh does not want to do anything spiritual. I've discovered that. And every one of us has flesh. That old sinful nature, it doesn't want to read the word every day. It doesn't want to pray every day. It doesn't want to fellowship with other Christians on a Sunday morning. It doesn't want to witness. It doesn't want to give to the Lord. It doesn't want to serve. It didn't even want to come to the conference for some of you here this morning, the afternoon. My flesh doesn't want to do anything spiritual. I got the enemy behind the lines working against me. But on top of that, I'm just human being just like you. And it is easy to get weary, to feel exhausted and tired, even in serving the Lord. But there's an encouragement here. It says, those who wait upon the Lord, or hope, as another translation says. And it's the same word there, different nuances on it. To wait on the Lord means to, and we often think of prayer, and it is that. It means to look for. It's to put your hope in. It's to look expectantly. It can mean looking to God in prayer with a certain expectant faith. And if you come here with a certain expectant faith saying, Lord, my cup is empty. I got nothing left. I'm dry, but I know you can do something. And so it says, he'll renew you. All right? Now that can mean renew, as in newness, but it can also mean to substitute one strength for another. And some of us, you get into the ministry and serving the Lord, and you get into the routine of doing it over and over and over again, that after a while, you can just do it in your own autopilot. And you can even just do things in your own strength and ability. And sometimes we forget to get so desperate that we got to get down on our knees and cry out and say, Lord, I need your power. Because we end up just substituting it ourselves. Do you know what I'm saying? Lord, renew me. And the beautiful thing is the work of the Holy Spirit is such that it's like, you guys have seen eagles, obviously, and when the wind comes up underneath them, there's no effort. They just coast, right? And that's what we're praying for. Lord, just fill my sails with this, the power and the, you know, refreshment of the Holy Spirit. And so this afternoon, we got a lot of things to pray about. Well, we got an election going on right now, don't we? We could pray for the election, and we should. But what I'd like to do is for us to break up into groups of three and four. And we do this all the time here at Stillwood. We've been doing it for a number of years. Find somebody who's not your buddy, someone who's not your friend, someone who you feel uncomfortable with, because this is the best way to break the ice. And don't spend 5 minutes taking prayer requests, 5 minutes talking and 1 minute praying. No, let's take 10 or 15 minutes and let's pray for one another, groups of three or four. Okay, I'll give you the go ahead in a second. I know you're ready to do this. All right. So, and I want us to pray for one another and let's say, Lord, renew me. Fill me with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit this afternoon. Lord, we're waiting upon you. We're looking expectantly to you. Maybe some of you here this afternoon are angry. I don't know why I say that, but I just feel I need to put that out there. Some of you here are angry in the ministry. You're angry. I don't know what. It's just that's the word. You need to ask the Lord to remove that anger. This is a time where we kind of let our guards down, and it's time to be real, all right, and say, Lord, I really want something to happen here. I don't want to be the same miserable me that came here. I really want something to happen. We're going to take 10, 15 minutes, pray with one another. If you have to lay hands on someone, go ahead and go from there. Pray for our election, yes, absolutely, but pray for one another. Lord, help me to mount up, to ascend, to be lifted up. I'm not pulling myself up by the bootstraps at this conference because I got no energy to do it. But the Holy Spirit can right now. Let's do it right now. Let's jump into this, guys. Groups of three or four. And then when we're done, I'll have Brent come back and we'll go into worship and we'll go from there. So let's just get into prayer. Let's pray for the conference. Pray for one another.